Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 7, Episode 90, and we've got a little bit of recently breaking news as the Steelers make their first foray into free agency in terms of signing someone who was not formerly with the organization, and Justin Hunter, Dave. And Hightower Watch, Donta Hightower, is expected to make his decision today. And while neither of us, Dave, thought that this was something that was likely to happen, it felt like the smoke got awfully heavy over at the UPMC Rooney facility yesterday. And maybe even some people in the organization thought this deal might go down. But it appears now that that's not going to happen.
Yeah, as we record this right now, I think the latest report is that Donta Hightower is trying to decide between deals from the Patriots, the Jets, and the Steelers. And as you mentioned, he spent reportedly a long day in Pittsburgh on Tuesday. And, you know, no contract yet. And then there was a report after he had reportedly left the facility that the Steelers said, look, first thing I thought of was that line out of Casablanca, David. You get on that plane, or I forget exactly. Even though I think the line was, if you don't get on that plane, you'll regret it. That's the first thing that came to my mind. Whether or not, they actually gave an ultimatum like that, I don't know. People have asked me, did Donta Hightower spend the night in Pittsburgh because of the weather? I don't know. I can't answer that.
The weather, well, depending, I guess depending on where he was going, the weather could have impacted him. The understanding was he was going to the airport to leave town, but, I guess if you can't get a flight out, you can't get a flight out. So, do you think there's any issue with the Steelers saying, look, this offer's good till midnight, and if you don't take it, then it's off the table? Do you have any issue with that?
Do they tell all the free agents that come in that,
I would think. I don't think this was Donta Hightower, you're making us a stalking horse. Look, it's just we want to know, because if you're not – this period of time, we're going to continue to move forward with what we're doing. So I'm with you. I don't know that this was specific to Donta Hightower.
Yeah, and how many times have we talked about in the past, David, that normally when free agents leave town, they don't come back. So I don't know whether I would think that this wasn't a one-time offing where they say either you sign now or we're yanking it. I mean, it very well could be. But it wouldn't surprise me if this wasn't the first time that the Steelers have told, an outside visiting free agent that. But it's not looking good. Could it still happen? Absolutely. I'm trying to think back, David, of the last time a visiting free agent has left town, and signed, a day.
To Devon House.
How interesting was that? Devon House is in there, and then all of a sudden, can I borrow your fax machine? how awkward. Well, was...
our guy's just down the hall. You don't need a fax machine. Oh, no. See, you don't understand.
Yeah, really. I think people... Look, when the initial report came out that Donta Hightower was going to fly to Pittsburgh, I posted on Twitter that if he is indeed looking for $10 to $11 million, that the pilot should keep the engine running. And people misconstrue things all the time of what I post and say on Twitter. it doesn't mean that I wouldn't like, you know, wouldn't be okay with Dante Hightower signing with the Steelers. I think he's a good player. Is he a great player? I don't consider him a great player. In so many words, I wrote that, look, you know, if they could sign him for like $7 to $7.5 million, I think that would be a decent signing because they were going to, you know, if you believe the reports out there, they were going to offer Timmons, what, $5 million a year? So, you know, $7.5 million to me, for what I've seen on tape with Dante Hightower, is a fair price. Now, I will be shocked if the Steelers sign Hightower and it's in that $10 to $11 million range. For one thing, you know, depending on exactly where that number came in at, he would potentially be the second highest paid player on the defensive side of the football and roughly the fifth highest paid player if you're going by average per year on the Steelers' entire roster. And that sounds very un-Steeler-like to me, you know, to bring a guy in that high. Now, $7 to $7.5 million, that would be more believable. But with all this said, David, Albert Breer posted this morning that he firmly believes that's what Hightower will eventually sign for whoever he signs with. To me, I don't know about you, that just seems a little high.
I agree with everything you said. I've assumed all along that Dante Hightower was going to be an eight-figure player, which is $10 million or up. And I think that's what the Patriots were probably balking at, you know, paying that number. And like you, I think the Steelers probably were at a number like $8 million. And the fly in the ointment here is, you know, from all accounts, the Jets are willing to throw gobs of money and be that eight-figure team at $10 to $11 million. So, and when that's out there, you know, the way I look at it is if you're Hightower, you got three things going on. You got the money, so that's the Jets. Then you got two teams who are the two best teams at the AFC. Obviously, the Patriots have been more successful than the Steelers. Nobody's arguing that point. And you say, okay, I got the devil I know. So if all things being equal, if it's the Patriots and the Steelers, you would expect the Patriots to win out if all things are equal financially. That's just kind of the way you would expect it to go. And then the Jets are more money. So I don't see a scenario where I never did see a scenario where the Steelers, you know, were going to win this battle. Now, at the same time, as we talked about on Monday, Dave, as you pointed out, and as I wrote in the article that we posted on your site yesterday, there's benefit to both teams in doing this. I don't think Hightower and his agent said, you know what, we're not going to sign with the Steelers, but let's go visit with them for 7 hours so that, you know, the Patriots pay us an extra $500,000 a year. I don't think the game works that way. I think the Steelers are I think Hightower and his agent, as the top free agent of the market, if the Steelers weren't willing to pay him a number that was in the ballpark within the realm of possibility, which, again, I like your number, $7.5 to $8 million, then they wouldn't have visited. So, you know, it is what it is. The fact that it got so close is the more surprising thing than the fact that he didn't sign.
And I agree. I mean, I don't think you – personally – I don't think you're going to bring in a guy that you don't think you have maybe a decent shot of being in the market value of where you perceive his market value being. And that's why I continue to go back to this $10 to $11 million that people are reporting. If he gets $10 to $11 million from regardless, God bless him and his agent. That's my opinion. And, you know, I'm probably by the end of the day, we'll find out, you know, for sure where he's going to sign. Is Dante Hightower an upgrade over Lawrence Timmons? I think the obvious answer to that would be yes. I mean, he's younger. He's still got some athleticism to him. With that said, though, do you consider Dante Hightower to be a guy that you would play 1,000 snaps a year?
Well, I guess, you know, here's another thing when we talk about it. If everybody agrees that Timmons' value is to the Steelers would be kind of a 1 year, $4 to $5 million deal, if you're going to sign Dont'a Hightower, it's going to be a four-year deal. So we're talking, you know, 32 to 35 with, you know, at least half of that guaranteed. And you then say, you know, on a value perspective with looking at what you have, and I realize Steeler fans, a lot of people are going to make the argument, well, you don't have anything because you haven't signed anybody else. You look at that and you say versus Vince Williams at, you know, 2.25 for the next 2 years, what's better value? Vince Williams at 2.25 the next 2 years or Dont'a Hightower at 8.5 for the next four or 8 for the next four? Honestly, Dave, I think I would take Vince Williams for the next 2 years at 2.5 because, well, it's clear that Dont'a Hightower is the better player. I'm not 100% convinced that he's a three-down linebacker, and I'm convinced that Vince Williams is a good enough player that there's not a big drop-off from what Lawrence Timmons is. And I do, as I wrote and as we've talked about, I do think the Steelers will scheme a bit differently going forward, and that position is going to be de-emphasized a little bit. So I'm not unhappy that Dont'a Hightower walked away.
Yeah, and especially at the $10 to $11 million, if that's what he's asking.
No question.
Now you, if you want to, you know, $7 to $7.5 million, maybe even as high as $8 million, I guess, you know, then maybe you could justify him being a guy that plays what 75, you know, maybe not even 75% of the snaps. It just, where I'm caught up the most with Hightower is how you can use him versus what he might get paid. Maybe I think too much on the back end of things, but you know, to me, why wouldn't you have Vince Williams and maybe go out and get a guy like Zach Brown or Gerald Hodges or somebody at a much cheaper number where you could, you know, kind of rotate those guys along with maybe a nickelbacker, you know, who knows?
Exactly. Your dime safety, you know, go in that supplemental pick in the third round, find your dime safety or something like that.
Now, what does this all tell us about Vince Williams?
Well, I guess, you know, what it tells us about Vince Williams is they probably look at Vince Williams, you know, I'll put him right in the same category with Ross Cockrell. The Steelers clearly are willing to play next season with Ross Cockrell and or Vince Williams as starters. But when they look at their defense in places where they feel like they can upgrade, those are the obvious spots. Now, they, you know, we'll see what happens with Connor Barwin or anybody else that has been mentioned in free agency. But, you know, Bud Dupree's going to be a guy. You know who you're out. Well, let's start up front. We know it's Cam and Tuitt, and you know it's Hargrave. But bang, that's done. You know it's Shazier and Bud Dupree. That's done. You know it's Mitchell. You know it's Davis. And you know it's Burns. That's done. And the guys penciled in, the three guys penciled in are Harrison, Williams, and Cockrell. And obviously those three guys, James because of his age, and the other two guys because they're seen as kind of, I think, mid-level or below average starters in the NFL, are places where the Steelers can upgrade. Having said that, and I want to make this point. This is maybe the most important point here, and I made it on Twitter yesterday. And the Steelers are in better shape today on March 15th or 16th or whatever day it is, March 15th this year, in terms of talent, depth, and salary cap space than they have been since they won the Super Bowl. I mean, they're at this point in the season, looking at where they are. Now, it's not comparing them to the Patriots or any other team. I'm just saying for the Steelers, the organization, the shape they're in with the group that they have, the draft positions, the cap space, everything else, I think they are in the best shape they've been in since they won a Super Bowl.
Right. And it still doesn't mean they're going to go out there and overpay for somebody. You know.
Well, against that.
Right. Look, it's not sexy what they've done. You know, re-signing your own, re-signing Landry Jones and David Johnson, extending the contract of Antonio Brown, franchise tagging Le'Veon Bell with the idea of extending him later on in the offseason. Of course, yet to come is an extension for Stephon Tuitt, possibly an extension for Ali Villanueva as well, too. No, it's not sexy at all, but it can't be discounted what has been done. And, you know, they're not done. I mean, we see today, you mentioned at the top of the show, They have evidently signed Justin Hunter, who was with the Buffalo Bills previously and, of course, the Tennessee Titans before that. Not a sexy signing, but it is a body to help. You know, I consider Justin Hunter an insurance policy to Martavis Bryant and Sammy Coates right now. Will Justin Hunter make the 53-man roster? Well, if you look at the past history, I've written about this before. You know, when Kevin Colbert signs free agents during the main signing period, even if they are one-year minimum salary guys, which one would think Justin Hunter is going to be in that range, there's a good chance those guys make the 53-man roster. So is this an indictment on Sammy Coates? Is this an indictment on maybe the Steelers really, maybe this, when it comes to Martavis Bryant, maybe they have even less confidence in him staying clean than they even let on. You know, we've heard Art Rooney II and Kevin Colbert saying, we don't know what's going to happen there. Well, maybe they have a little, maybe they know something even more that we don't at this point.
But is there room for Sammy Coates, Darius Heyward-Bey, and Justin Hunter?
My gut tells me no.
I'm with you. I agree. I don't think there's room for all three, which would tell you that Darius Heyward-Bey and Justin Hunter are probably battling for the same spot.
Now, here's the thing. Darius Heyward-Bey, he's fast. He doesn't catch many balls, but he does give you something on special teams. Justin Hunter, right now, probably about the same thing. He's fast, except he doesn't play special teams yet. Now, I have a feeling that when they get to training camp, Justin Hunter is going to get to know Danny Smith real quick, because yep. I think he's going to have to make a transition to the way Darius Heyward-Bey did during what his final year with the Colts, right?
No question, Justin Hunter is going to have to play special teams to make this team.
And because, I mean, if you let's look at the guarantees at the wide receiver position. You have Antonio Brown. You have Eli Rogers.
Yeah, Eli Rogers is probably next in line with the guys you have.
Right. And then, you know, you have question marks about Martavis Bryant.
If Martavis, so we'll make the, let's make the assumption here that Martavis Bryant gets reinstated. He's going to make the team.
Okay, yes. And then you have, you know, tons of question marks about Sammy Coates right now. I mean, there's nothing guaranteed about Sammy Coates at this point, nor is there anything guaranteed with DeMarcus Ayers. And then you could even, you know, say the same with Darius Heyward-Bey being as really the thing that's kept his foot in the league right now is the fact that he does play special teams. So you can
and 18, you know, our big the big kid.
Oh, Kobe Hamilton. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing.
He's in trouble now with Justin Hunter signing. That really puts Kobe Hamilton at risk, because you'd look at him as similar receivers, and, you know, obviously Hamilton's, I can't tell you a lot about Justin Hunter's blocking, so I'll say Hamilton's the better blocker, but he's not as fast.
Exactly. Now, Kobe Hamilton, if there's one thing that you can remember about Kobe Hamilton from 2016 season, it's his third down catches.
Catch the third down pass for a first down.
You know, and make a few combative catches. Now, he did have a couple of those deep touchdowns one late, I think, in the Dolphins game. And then, of course, the winner.
The game winner against Cleveland,
against Cleveland as well, too. So, you can really understand why the Steelers signed Justin Hunter. And like I said, I'll be surprised if this is much more than, you know, 1 year minimum deal or slightly above that. But back to Vince Williams. And
let me give you a Steeler Nation. Let me tell you that mortgage rates are currently at or near all-time lows. If you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, purchase a vacation home, or just refinance. Our buddy Craig Oxham from First Advantage Mortgage, a lifelong Steeler fan and Pittsburgh native, is a nationally recognized lender that would love to give you help. Would love the opportunity to help out our podcast listeners. You can call Craig Oxane today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. Email Craig at craig@blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. Company NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. And with spring coming, this is the time to be looking for a little home ownership, so make sure you keep Craig in mind. Let's just fill out this Justin Hunter stuff, because this is, you know, Devon House we talked about a fair bit on Monday, and I think, you know, neither Dave nor I was particularly excited about the Devon House signing and wondering kind of how he fits.
I would have been okay with that for the minimum, but
yeah. Anyway, he signed for $3.5 million,
right?
Obviously. You know, and a $3.5 million on a 1 year deal, it's not a bad deal. I just don't know that it guarantees him a starting job. So what you're doing is buying cornerback depth, and so, you know, again, I think Willie Gay is at risk here. I don't know that. You know, I'm more and more inclined to believe, you know, my three guys that I've been asking about are William Gay, Darius Hayward Bay, and Arthur Motes. Are these three veterans who are all good character guys, good locker room guys, are they going to be back? And I really now kind of tend to believe that Willie Gay and Darius Hayward Bay are seriously at risk. I do think Motes will still be back. But the point being, you know, Devon House was one of those guys where, you know, just as we're talking about Vince Williams, you're talking about Ross Cockrell, it would have been competition there. And then you don't necessarily find your nickel corner, but instead of Al Shabazz being the next guy up, the other one of Cockrell and House is the next guy up. And it just gives you some more depth there. I don't think there's any doubt in either of our minds that somewhere in these first four, or certainly five picks, the Steelers are going to be drafting a cornerback.
Well, outside of a drafted cornerback, is there any free agent cornerback out there right now that you would consider a huge threat to William Gay?
Well, I guess anybody they sign is a threat. I mean, you know, Cinquez Golson is, depending, you know, again, if Golson comes in and is what they thought he was when they drafted him, then you say, okay, you know, who else can move inside? Do we need to keep Will Gay as the only other guy on the roster who can play inside? Because I don't know necessarily who they have who can play inside. But again, that could be a guy they draft. If they draft a safety, maybe, you know, the kid, if they were to draft the kid from UConn, maybe they say they can play dime or even play nickel with a guy who's seen primarily as a safety. So I don't know. I think we think there'll be 10 defensive backs, and, you know, are William Gay and Robert Golden going to be fighting for a similar spot? Because certainly Robert Golden's a key core special teams guy, but and I would think Robert Golden makes the team. But if you're giving spots to Golden and Gay and Dangerfield and Shabazz, I mean, you know, not all those guys are going to make the team.
I understand Steelers fans falling out of favor again with William Gay. Okay, I get that. But with that said, he's so damn smart, man, and he can still play. Does he play at the level he played, you know, 2 years ago, three, you know, upon his return back to the Steelers? No.
He didn't have a bad year. He had a bad game against New England, but he didn't have a bad year.
Right.
In fact, he had a decent year.
Yeah, he did. And he's still a physical guy as well. And like I keep going back, so damn smart. I mean, if there's anybody you want in that cornerback room, I think it's him, unless you seriously have upgrades over him, which right now, you know, I don't think they do right now. So that's why I'm still less inclined to say, for William Gay, you know. Now, you know, the draft and free agency is still, you know, yet to go and play itself out. And perhaps my opinion will change on that, you know, the further we go down the line. But I'm less inclined, like I said, I'm less inclined right now to say, well, that's it for William Gay, you know, regardless of what happens from this point forward.
Okay, Dave. So your buddy Joel Corey wrote for CBS kind of 10 things in free agency as we've gotten to this point. So, you know, there's not a lot more to get to on the Steelers. Why don't we just it seems like the consensus, and tell me, you know, your thoughts. It seems like the consensus around, you know, analysts who cover the league is people are pretty impressed with what New England has done to date. People are impressed with the Browns' creativity, but don't think this will be a trend because it was a unique one-off situation. And I think the sense of the Browns is they're doing the right thing and building up both lines, but how did they possibly pay Kenny Britt 4 years at $8 million and let Terrell Pryor sign somewhere else for 1 year for $8 million? So mostly positive for the Browns, but I agree with that. I didn't understand the wide receiver flipperoo. And very negative on the Bengals, as in the window is closed and the Bengals may soon be bringing up the seller in the AFC North, you know, for a couple of years to come, if the Browns and the Bengals cross paths, maybe not this year, but next year, and kind of mediocre on both the Steelers and the Ravens. Fair assessment?
Cleveland's become the Cleveland Bengals almost, so to speak. I mean, they got to, you know,
with Hugh Jackson and Zeitler and the guys they've poached from.
You know, outside of the Bengals re-signing Dre Kirkpatrick, there really hasn't been, you know, much movement on their end. They really are going to rely a lot, I think, on a defensive side of the ball of two of their draft picks who didn't play last year, right? Andrew Billings and William Jackson III. So Mike Brown likes to build through the draft.
And they're gonna rely on those two draft picks they took in the first and second round couple years ago, when they had it, you know, when they were loaded on the offensive line. Those guys got to step in and perform now.
Right, Pac-Man Jones is another year older, and you still have to wonder what's going to happen with him. You got on offense, Giovanni Bernard coming off of an injury. They lost that one running back / fullback to the Patriots. Sure, they have Eifert. They lost Whitworth, you know, a premier tackle.
Yeah, Whitworth and Zeitler is a huge loss.
Yeah, those. I mean, what's Andy Dalton? You know, not gonna have some adjustments there, I think, behind that offensive line for sure. The Ravens, yeah, they went out and re-signed Brandon Williams, but you know, overall, you would have to think that they're, you know, I don't like the direction that their offseason has gone so far. Do you?
For the Ravens,
right.
I think getting Brandon Williams back was kind of a difference maker for me from having a bad offseason to an okay offseason. They get Tony Jefferson's a very good player. You know, I haven't seen what Mike Wallace's status is. Is he back? Did they pick up an option with him? Or
yeah, it sounds like they picked that
up. He's going to be a Raven, yeah. So I think it's been okay. I mean, they got Danny Woodhead. You know, the Steelers are going to look at a couple guys, you know, they haven't seen. They have seen. So for those who didn't hear, Rex Burkhead, who when Dave and I were talking at the very beginning of free agency, I threw out some ideas, you know, just kind of blue sky and ideas. Dontari Poe, who still hasn't signed and is visiting Miami today, which would make a very interesting interior line with he and Ndamukong Suh. Rex Burkhead, who I really like a lot because I think he can do a ton of different things. He has signed with the Patriots, Dave. Do you look at him as a different back than James White and Deion Lewis? I mean, does the signing of Burkhead mean LeGarrette Blount's time is done in New England?
It's very possible. It's very possible with that. I mean, he's a guy, he can catch some football out of the backfield, as you know, better than LeGarrette Blount as well, right? I mean, for sure.
I just think he can play in the slot, he can block, and I just think he's a much better between tackles runner than people, you know, realize.
Now, is he a guy that, you know, he's obviously just going to be a situational guy, but yeah, I mean, a guy, no nonsense guy, you know, a football player, if you will, to use a poor cliche. So nothing wrong with that signing.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think the Ravens are a better team than they were. The Bengals are clearly on paper a worse team. The Browns probably a little better team. They obviously aren't a threat. Nobody thinks they're a threat to win the division. The quarterback question is still wide open. But it'll be interesting because the people I talked to, Dave, and this was, you know, John Clayton, who I'll have again today, Matt Williamson, some other people, they don't think for a second that the Patriots are done, meaning they think that either Malcolm Butler and or Jimmy Garoppolo are still going to get moved, even though Schefter has staked his life on Garoppolo not being moved, and that they're going to recoup some of the draft picks because obviously they've traded, you know, they traded the house in terms of their draft picks to get Ealy, to get Dwayne Allen, to get Cooks. So, you know, if those things still happen, it's going to be, you know, you're going to, it would be the biggest turnover. It might already be the biggest turnover we've ever seen from a Super Bowl champion from one year to the next.
And I told Alex a few days ago, going back to the Cleveland Browns, I don't think Cleveland's done.
Do you think it is? Do you think Cleveland will make it an offer you can't refuse for Jimmy Garoppolo, or do you think something else?
I think so, David.
Do you think that's the 12th pick in a second rounder, or
I don't know. Obviously, Bill Belichick's only going to deal it if it makes the most sense for him, and you would think it would include a couple of top draft picks being involved in there. But you could hold on to Jimmy this year, and then, you know, let him leave via free agency and then get a third round compensatory pick, but
or trade him, or tag him.
I see that as the less likeliest of the options, but as we sit right here in the middle of March, I still would not be surprised to see Garoppolo gone and particularly in a Browns uniform, because I just think there's more to the end game here with the Browns. I really do. They went out there and they made some nice moves with the offensive line and all, and you know, nobody believes that Brock Osweiler is going to be the guy. They've already cut ties with Robert Griffin the third. I mean, even if you got per se the best quarterback in this draft, whoever that might be.
Watson or Trubisky.
Even if you did that, can you justify throwing him in there week one, you know, and going from there?
It would be Cody Kessler would be the guy. I mean, I don't think they're going to – look, here's the deal for those who haven't looked far ahead. As we sit right here today, and obviously this changes because last year, if you talked about it, Brad Kaya might have been a guy that we were talking about at the top of the draft for Miami, along with Deshaun Watson and some other guys. There's no doubt that Sam Darnold, who was the star of the Rose Bowl for USC, and Josh Rosen out of UCLA, those two guys are seen as kind of 1-2 in next year's draft, 2018. So while I don't think anybody is going to pull an NBA-type tanking type of move. This is why the Bears kind of have a one-year deal with Glennon. This is why the Niners have gone with, you know, Hoyer and Barkley in short-term deals. And this is why the Browns aren't looking to lock anybody up, because two teams are going to get their quarterback of the future at the very top of that draft next year. It's a completely different scenario than this year when guys look forward. So I don't know that the Browns necessarily, they're looking to build their team, but this is why you see they're spending the money on both lines, locking up guys to 4 or 5 year deals on both lines and building around that and not being worried about the quarterback position. So it wouldn't shock me if Cody Kessler is the guy, because when you look to those two guys, they are seen as kind of big time, big deal draft picks at the quarterback position.
Can they win with Cody Kessler this year?
No, and that's the whole point. Maybe they, you know, maybe they just would be happy to win three games and get Sam Darnold.
Yeah, boy, they're. I just something about it with them making the moves that they made, doing so with the idea that waiting till next year, you know, kind of deal.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how they draft, because look, they're going to be a much better team. They're going to have Myles Garrett. They're going to have somebody with the 12th pick. And maybe they do get Garoppolo and they just say, forget it. We're closer than we think, and we can draft these guys and we can go, and Garoppolo will be our guy. And if you were going to bet today on Garoppolo versus Darnold or Rosen, you know, I don't know that I have a clear answer as to what the right way is. I think you probably take the guy who's closer to having proven it with Garoppolo.
You know what? I'd go out. If I'm the Browns, I'd go out to Garoppolo hard. I really would, David. I really would. And if not him, you know, maybe I look at, maybe seeing what it would take to get McCarron from the Bengals, because Hugh Jackson has a history of him with him. You know, he knows what he is and isn't at this point. If you could get him cheaper as maybe a 1 year fix with the potential, if you had to use him as a backup for previous years, you know, if he can't take that starting job and run with it, maybe that's the way you go. They sure have a lot of draft picks, right? I mean,
they have. How about this? This is I think this is amazing. They have 10 picks in the first three rounds over the next 2 years. 10.
That's amazing.
They get two firsts this year, one and 12, and they got 3 seconds next year. You know, that's, I mean, they didn't draft all that well this year. It's hard, you know, hard to make a full evaluation. But if they can hit on five or six of those guys in the next 2 years, I mean, look out for the Browns. But yeah, it's a big if, you know, it's a big if.
Right, right. And, all right, where do the Steelers go from here in free agency, David, assuming Dante Hightower signs elsewhere?
Dave, honestly, you know, I think they're done in terms of having what we would call, air quotes, impact free agent signings. I mean, of course, they're going to sign the Cam Thomas, Ricardo Matthews type, and I'd be perfectly fine if they brought back Ricardo. In fact, I hope they bring back Ricardo Matthews at, you know, the vet minimum or $1 million, whatever the right number is. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise us if they, you know, bring back a couple other veteran type guys to fill in the 53-man roster. The interesting thing is, you know, will they look at a Connor Barwin or a Zach Brown or somebody like that, or even a Morris Claiborne, guys still out there who you would consider, you know, guys who could see, you know, viable playing time. All three of those guys, obviously, in the base defense. And Dave, the guy who's, you know, recently was connected with the Steelers, and I know he's taking a visit out west today, is Connor Barwin. And, you know, this is a guy who's had success in the league, and people want to look at Lorenzo Alexander last year with the Bills, who was kind of out of nowhere, a double-digit sack guy who turns out to be a great signing. I mean, I don't have a great sense of what Connor Barwin's market is, and if you can get him at Arthur Moat's money, sure, you'd like to have a guy like that, just a, you know, probably a better player than maybe Chickalo or Moats. But I don't know that you know, Connor Barwin's, I imagine Connor Barwin's going to command more money than that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's the first thing I thought when the first report came out, kind of connected him with the Steelers. Is combined with the fact too that, you know, what do the Steelers normally like their backup linebackers, you know, to do?
Yeah, got to play special teams.
And that's one thing that he's not done before. Not saying that he probably couldn't do it, but, you know, at his age and, you know, not having a history of that, that's what would lead me to immediately say, you know, Price versus him probably not being a premier special teams player would lead me to believe that there's not enough smoke there to get excited with something, you know, related to him. Claiborne, the thing with him is just, I don't think what's there on tape and injury history match maybe what the market value is with him. Maybe that changes the longer he stays unemployed moving forward. But right now, I just can't see something like that. Now, I don't think the Steelers are done in free agency. As you said, possibly a Ricardo Matthews type signing, if not Ricardo Matthews himself being brought back. They went out and looked at a Dante Hightower. Why not go out there and continue to look at maybe some athletic inside linebackers who could possibly split time with a guy like Vince Williams and cornerback. I honestly don't think they're done at cornerback. You know, there's a report on Tuesday about them, you know, possibly having interest in Nickel Roby Coleman, who was released by the Buffalo Bills. That would make some sense there. Of course, we've talked a lot about Altron Werner in the past. There are a few more of those kind of, you know, unsexy cornerback type guys who could play some special teams and perhaps give you a little bit of security at the cornerback position. So I don't think they're done. But I was, you know, say it again. I was surprised they spent as much time as they did with a guy such as Dante Hightower, and of course they signed Justin Hunter on Wednesday, it appears. I don't think they're done, but I don't think Steeler fans are going to be overly excited maybe from what happens from here on out.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And so kind of we'll see how it plays out. And, you know, there again, you just kind of come back to it's been the Steelers' way of doing business. And you know, Dave, I just got a tweet that was I was included in it, but I'll lump it in, basically said, you know, I don't know what's more frustrating, the Steelers' lack of urgency, as if there's a shot clock on this, or the lapdog media's kind of defense of their activity. You know, as I said earlier in the show, the Steelers are in a better position today with the talent, the depth, the cap space, the draft picks that they have than they've been in the last 5 or 6 years. So everything now is obviously looked at from the prism of the New England Patriots, and the Patriots have been really active. But at the same time, you know, if Dont'a Hightower announces that he signs with the Jets today, they've lost some key guys. It's not as if, you know, they lose Logan Ryan. They lose Dont'a Hightower. I mean, this is a team. They lose Martellus Bennett. This is a team we're going to see that has the biggest transition ever from a Super Bowl winning team. So, you know, there are 32 teams out there, and I realize the Patriots are the defending champ and they look better on paper. And I agree, they are better on paper. But, you know, you don't build, you don't change everything you do just because the Patriots make a couple trades.
Yeah, my only answer to that would be what were people expecting going into free agency? I think people should be a little bit surprised that they went after a guy like Dont'a Hightower, to be quite honest with you. So, you know, there's some optimism there. I don't know how else to answer that. I don't consider that being kind of lapdog kind of stuff. I really wasn't expecting, you know, much action in the form of big name guys during free agency this go around. Speaking of Dont'a Hightower, there's something coming across from Jason Cole, whether or not you want to believe it or not, on Twitter. He's told that the Jets have more than $12 million per season on the table for Dont'a Hightower.
Yeah, that's going to be hard to pass up, obviously. And look, you know, one of the things is Hightower, I guess, I don't know exactly what his status was last year, but apparently the Dolphins were willing to pay him $10 million a year. So I think that was the base from what they were working. Luke Kuechly, I think, is 11-4 per season? And I think Hightower is somewhere in the 11-point-something. And I think Hightower's looking to be kind of the second guy behind Luke Kuechly. So the idea that the Steelers were going to get him for less than $10 million, to me, made this whole thing a non-starter. I think that's why you and I both kind of dismissed it. It did smell like there was, from the reports, like there was some smoke there yesterday, so I'm not going to discount the validity of that. But again, $3 million difference or so in salary, $3 or $4 million per year, I don't care who you are, that's a significant number.
Yeah, if the Jets are willing to pay him $12 million a season, God bless Dont'a Hightower and his agent, in my opinion. Jarvis Jones to the Cardinals.
Yeah, that market was set early in free agency by Barkevious Mingo, who was both guys drafted in the 2013 draft. Jarvis was obviously the 17th pick. Mingo went 6th to the Browns. And he obviously has, you know, struggled, ended up in New England and has bounced around, has not been a very productive guy. He signed a one-year, $3 million deal with the Colts. Haven't seen the numbers for Jarvis Jones, but I'm going to assume that he's going to get a $2.5 million deal, something like that, with the familiarity in Arizona with the Pittsburgh West. So they know what they're getting. And I'll just say this about Jarvis. I mean, you know, however you want to label Jarvis, I will tell you that every guy who dealt with him in the media and his teammates and stuff, he is a well-liked guy. And obviously, not everybody wishes everybody the best. Usually they do. But everybody associated with Jarvis who ran into him wishes Jarvis Jones good luck out there. He never kind of lived up to his billing. And I guess one of the questions, Dave, is do you think that the way the Steelers used him in conjunction and stunted his development? Because I'm not willing to go that far. I think, you know, talent wins out, and it would have shown. But I know there are people who think that.
No, I don't think, you know me, right from the get-go with him, I didn't like the selection when it was made. And He just never did. He developed as a run defender. I'll give him that. He just never developed as a pass rusher. I mean, got ragdolled quite a bit by some premier left tackles, and I've taken my shots at him enough, I guess, over the years. So I'll just wish him well and kind of leave it at that and hope he maybe can figure it all out in Arizona on a 1-year deal. And then, who knows, maybe he parlays that into something else down the line. So needless to say, I was not shedding tears about Jarvis Jones signing with the Cardinals away when the Lawrence Timmons news passed over the wire last weekend.
Yeah. Right. And the question, I guess, is, how do you label Jarvis Jones' time with the Steelers? And I knew you and Alex discussed this, and I think Alex is right in pointing to Ziggy Hood. It's, people sometimes call Rashard Mendenhall a bust. He wasn't a bust. Troy Edwards, he'd be borderline bust. I mean, it's tough when your first year is your best year. That's not a good sign, obviously. He just didn't have longevity with the Steelers. Ziggy, the way I look at Ziggy and Jarvis Jones is they just didn't give you what you would hope for from a first rounder.
Yeah,
and it's just pretty much that simple.
Yeah, I think it is. It's just, look, you want to hit them all, but you're not going to hit them all. And when you look back at that 2013 draft, you can say, what if, Tyler Eifert was drafted after Jarvis Jones? And you'd have to think, look, even if you had drafted Tyler Eifert way back then, he would be in a high dollar option year right now, assuming that you had given him his fifth year option. You could go down the list at the other guys named, or drafted, immediately after Jarvis Jones. And a few names obviously stick out as related. You missed. You missed. You got to move on, and that's what the Steelers are going to try to go back to the draft well once again when it comes to edge rushers, this year.
Okay, so that leaves us kind of where does that leave us, Dave? We've kind of covered most of it.
Pro day, Steelers, Joey Porter and a few other scouts look like maybe Dan Colbert was at the Youngstown State Pro Day. Not surprising at all to see Derek Rivers go through the paces over there. One thing that kind of stuck out to me is looking at Daniel Jeremiah's most recent mock draft and his most recent top 50 was not only was our boy Obi left out of the first round of that mock draft, Derek Rivers was as well too. And I don't think Derek Rivers was in the top 50 that Daniel Jeremiah released as well too. So
little surprising there. I think our boy Obi was the, I think maybe he and Hassan Reddick were the two biggest movers in the top 50 list for Daniel. I don't remember seeing or not seeing Rivers. I know he took Sidney Young out of there, who I think was 13th or 14th, obviously with the ACL, the Achilles injury, and some guys in his back 40 moved out of the list. So I don't know. I'm not quite familiar. I know that you look at the list of guys, edge rushers from. You start with Tack McKinley at UCLA. You got Taco Charlton, Michigan. You got Lawson and Harris, who we've talked a lot about, and Missouri. You got T.J. Watt at Wisconsin. I mean, there are a lot of guys, and certainly there are teams in front of the Steelers. Notably the Packers, maybe right in front of them, who are going to be looking at edge rushers. So there may be some guys who go right off the board who would be in the Steelers' wheelhouse. But there are a lot of red rushers right there, kind of, late first round, who would seem to be on the market.
Yeah, I'm starting to get a little bit of a sense the Steelers might be willing to wait to the second round to get an edge rusher if they could get maybe, I think.
Well, is there any position other than corner that you would go first round to defer that?
It would have to be a nickelbacker type, or a guy like, let's say a guy like Hassan Reddick fell to you, or if Obi was there, or maybe one of these corners that fall to you. But I don't think you take a running back there. I don't think you take a defensive lineman there. I think it would be a nickelbacker, an edge rusher, or a cornerback that you would pick first round would be your choices as I sit here right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. It'll be interesting to see. And
look, I wouldn't be, you know, you got 2 third-round picks there. If you didn't get an edge rusher in the first round, let's say one of them guys tumbled, you know, one of those guys, Lawson or Rivers, you know, tumbled into the second round and you weren't convinced that they were going to make it all the way down to you in your second round pick, and maybe you're about 7 spots away. I don't know. I could possibly see dealing maybe one of those third round picks and your second round, you know, and exchange second round picks to move up a couple of spots. But
I'd be willing to do that. I'd have trouble giving the third round pick. If it were a fourth or a fifth, you know, and there was a guy. I mean, is there a chance that Rivers drops to them at 62?
I don't know. I mean,
would you jump all over that if he did?
Oh, I mean, if Rivers dropped to me in the second round, absolutely be running up there with that card. I mean, and from what the, you know, obviously Daniel Jeremiah's list is not law, but I mean, he has him, you know, unless I missed him, I think he was outside of the top 50. And you know, this is a small, let's remember that, you know, as good as Derek Rivers was, this is a small school kid still, you know, that. Some people might have questions about the competition that he faced, and you know, he's a little bit on the slight side, but he's a strong for a guy on the slight side. He's fast, you know, decent 40 time for sure. You know, nice jumps. I thought probably, you know, not as good of other three cone and shuttle times, you know, maybe or 20 yard shuttle time as you probably like, but. I think, if you went, even if you took an edge rusher in the first round, not named Rivers, and Rivers fell to you in the second round, you know me, I'd be all over multiple edge rushers in this draft early on.
Yeah, we're both in that. And, you know, I'll just keep throwing out that I think it's edge rusher, corner, and running back in some order the first three picks, and I'll be very interesting with that supplemental pick which direction they go. You have to think with the Justin Hunter signing that, you know, if Martavis Bennett will know by the draft if he's reinstated, but assuming he's reinstated, you'd have to think that wide receiver's not on the board. So where do they go? And offensive line's not on the board, so where do they go with that next pick? And, you know, I'm kind of against the flow of the tide. I've been banging for defensive linemen, and that to me would be a great spot to add defensive line depth in the, you know, late at the end of the third round.
Yeah. I mean, look, running back, you could definitely see that happen in the first three rounds. Obviously, edge rusher, some sort of defensive back. You know, now that they signed Justin Hunter, you would think it would have to be a damn good wide receiver for them to pull the trigger on a wide receiver in the first three rounds. Obviously, offensive line is not an issue at all. I guess, you know, I'm still against this team drafting a defensive lineman in the first 5 rounds. Who knows about quarterback, where their mindset is at the quarterback position right now. If they don't pick up an inside linebacker via free agency moving forward, you could always – maybe the first 4 rounds or so do that. Safety, I would have no hard feelings if they drafted a safety,
yep, know,
fourth round or on. And look, if you could get a guy like Obi, you know, if he slides to you in the first round, I don't think many people's feelings would be hurt about that either. You know, the only safe thing I think you could say right now in my eyes is this team does not need an offensive lineman, and I would rank defensive line way down that list. And really, you know, I've been saying all along that, man, I kind of hoping they don't draft a quarterback.
Yep. We're on the same page on that one. All right. Anything else to hit, Dave, or we'll see if we can dig something up to talk about on Friday if there's no activity over the next 48 hours.
Yeah,
we'll probably know where Dante Hightower went.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, the thing, I guess we should revisit with Justin Hunter. I wonder if he signed his contract or had to get it faxed when he was there, because if not, then I guess we're talking about a player that actually signed with the Steelers after leaving Pittsburgh.
Yeah, right.
You know, so Just like never drafting cornerbacks in the first round. Never say never, I guess. And it'll be interesting to see what happens and plays out with Hightower. And I don't know if I mentioned it earlier. Zach Brown, it sounds like, is visiting, has a visit lined up with the Oakland Raiders in the coming days. The Steelers have had some interest in, you know, mentioned with Roby Coleman. So it'll be interesting. I don't think they're done. I just don't think that whatever happens from here on out, as I said, is going to make most of our listeners too excited. But if you want to vent, why don't you get to our buddy Craig Oxane one more time?
Yeah. The mortgage process can be more challenging than spelling. I'd say Obi's last name, but I don't have it in front of me, so I don't know how to spell it.
And we'll just say Connecticut.
Not,
you're not going to trick me into saying it again either.
More challenging than spelling Connecticut when you're a kid. Let our buddy Craig guide you through this sometimes daunting mortgage process to help you score the home of your dreams, even in Storrs, which is Storrs, Connecticut. University of Connecticut is located in Storrs. If you're considering buying or refinancing a home now or in the future, please give our sponsor, Craig Oxane, a call. He's an experienced, nationally recognized lender that can help you achieve the dream of home ownership. Call Craig Oxane today at 855-961-7763, 855-961-7763. Email Craig at craig@blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. First Advantage Mortgage Company, NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, with that, if you want to vent, you know I'm on Twitter, at Steelers Depot. David Todd's on Twitter, at David M. Todd. The show, at Terrible Podcast. You can email us, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. And as always, if you're interested in donating and helping the cause, go to SteelersDepot.com, find that donate button upper right corner of the site. And, David, maybe we'll find enough to flap our gums about again on Friday.
All right, as always, thanks for listening to The Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.